It is 7:45 on a Saturday morning, and that means time for another wine chat with our friend from Haskell's, Ted Farrell. Ted, good morning.
Good morning, Denny. You staying dry in all this craziness?
Well, I tell you, it was pretty noisy. I keep my fingers crossed we don't lose power or anything like that. So, yeah, it looks like kind of a rainy day, rainy weekend. But I think it's going to be mighty clear for the Minnesota State Fair.
Well, that's what it looks like. It's going to calm down. And, you know, it's always a great time at the fair to everybody literally to get together, eat some greasy fried food, and enjoy life. And it should be nice by then. Hopefully
yeah.
The storms blow off.
Absolutely. Well, what's on the schedule today?
Well, you know, this is the wine chat, and Haskell's are known as the wine people. And I thought I'd do something a little bit different and kind of change it up and maybe remind some of the listeners that we are a full-service liquor store. We do sell beer, but we also sell a lot of spirits. I think we have about 3,000 different SKUs of different alcohol and their sizes, shapes, and flavors and whatnot. And people kind of like overlooked at the fact that we do sell a lot of spirits. And ironically, my younger brother Bo spent the last week down in Louisville kind of traipsing around, going up and down the bourbon trail, tasting certain bourbons, things like that, to bring back to Minnesota to, you know, have our listeners and our customers truly enjoy the great spirits of the world, and especially our indigenous spirit, which is bourbon. But what I'd like to kind of talk about is those spirits that, you know, Minnesota, you know, I have friends from Wisconsin who love to call us Minnesober because we don't like to have too much fun. But I don't think that's the proper case whatsoever. Really, you know, Minnesota has always been kind of on the cutting edge of, you know, beers and liquors and things like that. Years and years ago, they used to have the Minnesota 7, which is a internationally known whiskey that was made in kind of the Central Lakes region right before Prohibition, and it kind of vanished. And then, you know, we've been on the cusp of, you know, kind of that craft brew movement, and then also the micro distillation things where up in Osakis, they've been distilling liquors and things like that. But, you know, the other side to it is the creativity. Now, the one drink that I like to talk about is called a bootleg. Now, a bootleg is maybe a nice little mixed drink that's known throughout, let's say, Minneapolis and St. Paul's country club culture, that usually it was a drink that came out right around, say, Memorial Day and lasted until Labor Day, or at least as long as the mint patches were out there. And it's a real unique drink. I guess the thing you could maybe call it, or the most similar to, might be a bootleg, but it's a wee bit different where it is a little bit more lemon-based rather than a simple syrup-based the way of the mint julep is. The bootleg has that lemony, citrusy, you know, you almost use limeade. We do have a recipe for it on our website that you could scroll onto and find. But, you know, it's a very interesting thing. And, you know, the country clubs, either Minnetonka, Wood Hill, and Town and Country kind of argue who actually invented it. But I think the title actually goes to Wood Hill, where when, years and years ago, they used to have a bartender out there, and he's an old man, and he had a mint patch out back, and he kind of would scrape that stuff up, mix it with a little bit of lemonade. And the reason why they call it a bootleg is because at that time, it was in the 30s, there was Prohibition going on, so they used bootleg gin. So that's where he's like, well, here, hey, I have a bootleg, because it was illegal to, you know, serve alcohol in those days. But it was a great, refreshing drink. And the interesting thing about it is, you know, you mix your clear spirit. And a clear spirit can be, you know, traditionally, because there wasn't a lot of vodka being sold and distributed way back in the 30s, it was most likely gin was the first alcohol that was inserted into a bootleg. And people truly enjoyed it. So, but you put maybe a finger or so, depending on what how much you want alcohol in that thing, a finger or two of gin. Then you fill it up with all things cleared and out with club soda, and then you pour the bootleg mix on top, because the bootleg mix is a lot more concentrated, especially, let's say, compared to that mint julep. You know, it's real intense, and that way you can also play with the sugar levels. If you like it a little bit sweeter, you add a little bit more, but it's a light and refreshing, and you use a clear spirit. You know, you can, I know a few people who throw in a dark rum, but, you know, the whole idea behind it, it's light and refreshing. So, you know, if you're using a rum, you know, you do like a Bacardi Silver or a clear rum. I even have a friend who likes to put a little tequila in their bootleg. I don't know if there's a fun Mexican name to call it that way, but The one spirit, though, that I really, we just got in about a month and a half ago, is this new vodka that's distilled out in Connecticut. And it's a great vodka called Grain Mill. And, oh, my goodness, the interesting thing about that is the simple fact that they use corn as their mash base, 100% corn. So it's a little bit rounder. It's a very smooth one. Sometimes those weeded vodkas have a little bit of kind of burn on the finish. This is nice, clean, easy, refreshing. It's gluten-free. It's a great approachable one. And it's a little bit cheaper than, let's say, a big name brand like Tito's. So if you truly like a brand like Tito's, you'll really like this Grain Mill. It's a great little thing. And, you know, we also will probably talk about it coming up in a few months or so. Tailgating season's coming up. So this is a great one to make your bloodies or your screwdrivers, et cetera, where you put that in there. And the Grain Mill is just a great little spirit that we brought in. It's about distilled, I think, 7 or 9 times. So it's so clean, so easy, and just a wonderful vodka to have on your table or just stock up your bar with it because it's so affordable to have around and really enjoy it. Make that bootleg and put that in there. And so, you know, the bootleg itself is such a light, easy, refreshing drink to have, where we do have about 3-4 more weeks of summer, Denny, and so it's a perfect little drink for that. Now, there's also another little drink that was invented right in Minneapolis at the chain of restaurants and bars, the local, and then also Kieran's, and that's called the Big Ginger. Now, that was a fun little one that they devised about 10 or 15 years ago, to the point where the bar local, right there in downtown Minneapolis, for about 5 to 8 years, was the number one spigot of Jameson Irish whiskey in the world. Now, think of that. That's some tough competition throughout the world. Yes, they sold the most, they consumed the most, and it's because they invented that drink, the Big Ginger, which is very simple, easy one to drink, or to make, actually. It's a, you know, whatever your amount is, let's say 2 ounces of an Irish whiskey. They started using Jameson, but then you fill the rest up with just ginger ale. And then I think the unique thing that they do is that they squeeze both lemon and lime into that. And there's something about that little citrusy concoction that blends so well with the spirit, but also the ginger ale that it tapers off. It's a wonderful drink. And, you know, we just brought in a brand new Irish whiskey called Seven Saints. Now, this one, a unique one. You know, Irish whiskey for the longest time, where before Prohibition, was the number one spirit throughout the United States. There were some, obviously, some distillers here, but that was the most, that was the largest import of a whiskey in the United States was Irish whiskey. And then Prohibition happened, and then things kind of began to falter. And believe it or not, only about 20 years ago, in all of the island of Ireland, there was 3 distilleries. That was it. And those distilleries, Tipcare, made everything else, but there was just 3 distilleries. It really had faded away. You know, the United States, you know, people started drinking more scotch, and they could always thank old Joe Kennedy for that because it was a little bit cheaper and he got a better deal on it. And he was the first to market to it way back right as Prohibition was repealed. But with that being said, they said, and now there's a renaissance going on in Ireland right now where I think they're up to about 25 distilleries, maybe more. I know one, unfortunately, just closed, but you're seeing a renaissance with that. Now, the interesting thing about an Irish whiskey is that they're, compared to a Scotch, you know, the way they dry their malt, their yeast mash, is they don't use peat to dry it out. The Scotch, they use peat, and that's what kind of gives it a little bit more robust, maybe even a harsh flavor to it. Or this Irish whiskey is done, they age it a different way and they dry it out, so it isn't as intense. And the nice thing about this Seven Saints is that they age it in not only some American bourbon barrels, but they also use some sherry casks, and then they even use some oak barrels that they sourced out of California. So it's a very smooth, rich Irish whiskey. Just fantastic to put into to make that Big Ginger. And it's such a simple drink, again, where it's a finger or two of your favorite Irish whiskey, preferably this new Seven Saints. Give it a try. It's brand new to the market. And then you fill it up with a little bit of ginger ale, squeeze a little bit of lemon and lime into it, top it up, maybe stir it up, and it's just clean, light, and refreshing. And something about that combination with the ginger and the whiskey spirit, that just smooth and an elegant drink to really enjoy. You know, we have granted for the fair, we have a nice kind of cool day at 80. It's not 97 or whatnot, but these are just great little sippers to have. And it's kind of unique because, you know, with all the different cocktails that you hear, Hurricane down in New Orleans, you know, the Cuba Libre that came out of Havana and all that, it's very nice to see that Minnesota is kind of ahead of the curve in making these drinks that, you know, people are drinking nationally and even internationally as far as recognition to the spirit market in this state.
Ted, you had mentioned earlier a few minutes ago about rum. How does rum fare as far as sipping or, you know, Cuba Libre or something like that? Is that still a big seller?
Rum is, and what you're seeing is what a lot of the, you know, because there was such a high demand on bourbon and people went so agog over bourbon with the Mad Men craze and making old fashions, et cetera, the demand went so high on that people had to look for other spirits. And what you're seeing is a little bit of a cult following of aged stamped bourbon. You know, there's still the Cuba Libre, mind you, where Bacardi is kind of the giant. You see they're clear and they're gold all around. But you are seeing some aged stamped rums coming out. A lot of them maybe 6 years old, 4 and 5 years old, 100% cane. And from the different countries, you see rums coming from Honduras, Colombia, in throughout Nicaragua, which are very unique, and all throughout the islands as well. You know, you'll see the Eccles from San Martin and things like that. So it's coming along where the interesting thing, there used to be just, say, Bacardi, and that's all the rums that people knew. And now you're seeing almost your rum selection expand the way you have a single malt section or a bourbon section of so many different offerings that are unique. But then the one thing you always want to look at, especially if they use 100% cane or that molasses, that makes it a richer, deeper, more vibrant rum.
Well, you got me thinking now that I've got a bottle of dark rum downstairs and I'm looking to make dessert. I always like a rum cake. I think I'll do that tonight. I know we're getting
Make sure you have one snip for you and a couple snips for the cake.
Absolutely. Well, I tell you, that's an interesting angle. I'm glad you did this because Haskell's, yes, you guys are the wine people, but you're so much more than that. And tell folks all the locations we can find you. There's one near you, as we like to say.
We shall. And, you know, we can't make the drink for you, but we can definitely get you ready and armed up to make the right drink. There's a Haskell's in downtown Minneapolis with lots of free parking on the weekend. There's a Haskell's across from the Ridgedale Shopping Center in Minnetonka. There's a Haskell's in Highland Village right on Ford Parkway. Haskell's down in Bloomington and Lomans Plaza. If you're out on the lake, kind of might be a little troublish with this rain, but if you're out on the lake, stop by Haskell's Excelsior right on Main Street, where you have a Haskell's in White Bear Lake. If you're out on the river, stop by Haskell's Stillwater. If you're headed down south, pull over and stop off of Haskell's in Faribault, right off of 35. There's a Haskell's in Plymouth, Haskell's in Maple Grove. And if you can't hit any of those, you can always stop by Haskell's.com 24/7. Place your order and enjoy.
Absolutely. Ted, we'll talk next week. I'll be at that beautiful, newly redecorated WCCO Broadcast Center from the fair.
Sure, ma'am. Good luck with that, Daddy.
All right. Thanks, Ted. We'll talk to you then. Ted Farrell from Haskell's.